Hello, it's Rob here, the R1 guy, and I guess at this point I'd like to officially try to become the R09 guy. I just had to say my piece on the R09. Other people have chimed in, and having both the R1 and the R09 in my possession, I felt like I might be able to bring a couple things to the table that really haven't been covered. Of course, I'll probably cover some of the stuff that's already been covered just because I can't help myself, but you know how it goes. Before I get into the details, I'd like to say that I really like this recorder. You're going to hear me complain a lot in this brief review, this brief examination, whatever this might be. I wouldn't really call it a full review because we're certainly not going to get into all the details. I'm going to complain a lot, but it's probably because I'm real picky. I think a lot of people are going to buy this recorder and a lot of people are going to love it. And I'd be fairly happy with it too if I owned one. There are, however, some things I think the very technical user might be interested in knowing before purchasing this particular product. I'm going to run through a couple differences of the two machines and let you hear some actual examples. I should say now that I'm recording on the R09 and I have the limiter on, and I'm wearing my headphones, which brings up the first point that nobody has mentioned so far. There's an odd delay when you record and monitor with headphones. I'd say, I don't know, it's maybe in the order of 10 or 20 milliseconds. I don't know, I didn't try to measure it, but slight disconcerting delay as you speak in to the microphones with your headphones on. Not that this can't be dealt with, but it is a little unusual. Secondly, the limiter is an interesting beast. It has its fair share of problems. First of all, it operates independently per channel, which is usually not what you want. So if our very loud signal hits the left channel, the left limiter is going to pop down and the right limiter is going to stay where it was, vice versa. I find this quite odd. At first I thought it might be kind of interesting, but tradition has it, and tradition says limiters generally don't work that way. And it does sound rather odd. Also, for those who care, the limiter does not function on line in. This is not the case in the R1. The limiter worked fine either way on all the inputs on the R1, but on the R09, they've chosen to have the limiter function only on the mic input or the built-in mics. I'd like to demonstrate one of the difficulties with the limiter on the R09. I've discovered that it tends to, shall we say, misbehave when certain strong, pure frequencies are applied to it. For example, I have here a 400 Hz sine wave. I'm going to play it loudly into the R09, and we have the limiter on, and you'll see what I'm talking about. You'll be able to hear the limiter, do its little thing. Here we go. I'm approaching the sine wave now. Getting closer. That's a problem. Another problem I have with the limiter is zipper noise created by wind. Listen for this limiter zipper noise as I pull open a bassy door. You'll definitely be able to hear what I'm talking about. Try that again. Definitely lots of zipper noise on door slams and bassy events like wind. That, believe it or not, was a door slam in the bathroom. Okay, let's move off the limiter. I think we've hit that hard enough. I wouldn't recommend using it unless you have to. I think that's probably generally the rule with all limiters, but Neil's cast made the limiter sound, to me, a whole lot more interesting than it actually turned out to be. And I'm not sure why. Maybe his functions a little differently. I can't imagine that being the case, but you never know. But I did not notice the troubles I have listening to his cast. Those considering the R09 should know that the maximum card size supported is 2 gig. There are some 4 gig SD cards available. I wouldn't waste my money. Apparently those don't work. So you might want to keep that in mind. As with the R1, the mics are anything but flat. Maybe I should just get used to this. Maybe this is more a problem with me than recorders. But I think the highs and the lows on this device are boosted more than they should be. Not that that's a horrible thing, but you just need to keep in mind that you're really not listening to exactly the way something sounded when it was recorded. While the R1 and the R09 have this problem, I find the R09 mics much more pleasing to listen to than those on the R1. The R1 had some interesting troubles in some frequencies, and the R9 does seem to have cleaned those up. So even though it is bright, it sounds a lot more natural. Even though the built-in mics aren't flat, I think they have a great frequency response. I didn't measure it, but I'm sure they get down to 23 hertz. I have a bass wall around here that I can use for that. And they seem to be pretty good on the high end as well. To compare the microphones in the R1 and the R09, I used two techniques. First, I recorded some pink noise into each machine through my speakers. Of course, the speakers biased the results, but it's fairly clear that the microphones on both machines are not flat. Secondly, I played a drum track and recorded it with both machines at the same time. Of course, they weren't at the same exact position in the room, but one was in each hand, so they were very close. I also held both machines fairly far from my body to avoid any kind of reflections that I might add to the mix. First, I'll play a small sample of the pink noise, followed by the pink noise recording on the R09, finally the pink noise recorded on the R1. Yeah, you really should take those with a grain of salt. I mean, I was kind of having fun trying to think of different ways I could compare. The R1 sounds quite a bit different in that example and may not be quite that different. I mean, there's all kinds of phasing issues when you're trying to set up an example like that when you don't have the right chambers to record these kind of things in. But I was able to take a better microphone and get a fairly flat sound than pink noise sample, which is what caused me to press forward with this particular test. Now for the drum tracks. First I'll play the original drum track, then I'll play the drum track as recorded on the R09, then the drum track as recorded on the R1, and finally, here's a twist, the drum track as recorded on the R09 with the MicroTrax T-Mic. Are you ready? A sad but interesting fact you'll notice about each of those drum track recordings is that neither the build-in on the R09, the build-ins on the R1, nor the T-Mic got any separation of note when recording the drum track. This is a problem with these omnidirectional mics when recording at a distance. You're just not going to get the kind of separation you might prefer. If you like the drum samples you just heard, go over to sonicimplants.com and check them out for yourself. That particular drum kit was the Blue Jay Small Ambient Drums. Another thing they didn't get right, and perhaps this is a chronic problem too with these kinds of recorders, oh, these mics are just too noisy. They're going to be great if you record in high SPL situations, and they're going to be okay if you record in moderate things. If you want to record really soft sounds, I don't think you're going to get the job done with these built-in mics. Or if you do, you're going to be really distracted by the noise. I didn't try to get out any measurement tools, but it seems like perhaps the R1 might be just a touch quieter. Slightly better signal noise on the R1, perhaps with the built-ins, than the R09. But I wouldn't take that as written in stone. I really don't know. It's a close call. And I didn't really spend a whole lot of time trying to decide which had the better signal to noise. They really both are quite noisy. And this is a major disappointment to me. A lot of people aren't going to care, but It is a problem. Rather than me tell you which one's noisier, I'll let you decide for yourself. Here's the same recording recorded on both machines side by side. We'll start out with the recording on the R09 and end with the recording on the R1. And for those who are wondering, we now have the R1 and the R09 side by side using the built-in mic system on each one. I'm standing a couple feet from the unit, so I'm going to move around the room a little bit and give you an idea what each one sounds like. I shouldn't say which one I think sounds quieter. That's really what we're trying here for. We've kind of covered the shape of the microphones earlier and the way they sound different, but this is just a side-by-side recording. And I'll just play this exact recording for you from both machines and let you be the judge if you care which one sounds better and which one has less noise. We have the limiters turned off on both machines, the R1 input all the way up, as is usually necessary with the R1 for these kinds of recordings, and the input on the R09 relatively high, though not quite all the way up, because it is quite a bit more sensitive than the R1. Anyway, this should give you some idea how the two machines compare side by side with their built-in stereo mic systems. And for those who are wondering, we now have the R1 and the R09 side by side using the built-in mic system on each one. I'm standing a couple feet from the unit, so I'm going to move around the room a little bit and give you an idea what each one sounds like. I shouldn't say which one I think sounds quieter. That's really what we're trying here for. We've kind of covered the shape of the microphones earlier and the way they sound different. But this is just a side-by-side recording, and I'll just play this exact recording for you from both machines and let you be the judge if you care which one sounds better and which one has less noise. We have the limiters turned off on both machines, the R1 input all the way up, as is usually necessary with the R1 for these kinds of recordings, and the input on the R09 relatively high, though not quite all the way up, because it is quite a bit more sensitive than the R1. Anyway, this should give you some idea how the two machines compare side by side with their built-in stereo mic systems. Another problem I have with the R09 is the noise of its mic preamp. Believe it or not, the mic preamp on the R09 is quite a bit noisier than the mic preamp on the R1. It's very noisy in the tests I've done, and I used a self-powered condenser mic and a old dynamic mic and found the preamp noise was quite a bit louder on the R09, as you can hear from these samples. Okay, I'm holding the world's worst microphone in my hand. This is an old dynamic mic I have laying around, and we'll leave it at that. It's nothing anybody would want to use for anything, but I wanted to use it in this case to compare the R1 preamp with the R09 mic preamp. While I find the R1 preamp rather loud, I'm kind of thinking maybe the R09 preamp might be a little louder, but we will find out here in just a sec. Here on the R1 we have the gain all the way up, and the mic probably 4 to 6 inches away from my mouth. I'm holding it in my hand, as I said, just to prove that the noise we're hearing is all preamp noise. I'm going to cycle the mic switch on and off a couple times for you. There is a refrigerator in the background, but probably not of consequence with this noisy setup. Back on. And as you can hear, the only really noise we're getting is handling noise as I operate the switch. Okay, anyway, over to the R09. Okay, here we are with the same lousy mic, this time on the R09. And like I said, it seems to be even noisier than the R1. So from that perspective, certainly no improvement was made. I don't know all the details. There could be some impedance issues here But if we lay those aside for a sec, the mic preamp in the R09 appears to be quite a bit noisier than that in the R1, and the R1 is certainly not quiet by any standard. I have on the R09 the input level cranked all the way up, the mic sensitivity on high, and I have it set to mono operation mode since this is a single dynamic mic, which is outputting into the left channel input of the R09. Once again, we'll do our mic switch test, where we'll switch the mic off and on to prove that there's no noise being offered by the mic connection itself. Back on, and... okay, I think we've covered enough with the lousy dynamic mic and the R1 versus the R09. Now, admittedly, my test of the preamps was kind of unusual in that I used two microphones that most people would never actually use with this kind of recorder. So in all fairness, I've decided to try mics people might actually use. These are, I believe, made by Innovative Specialist, and they're the ones with the Audio-Technica parts in them. They're the ones Larry always talked about in the past, and the ones you hang on your ears. And right now, I'm speaking to you through the R09. In just a second, we'll put these mics on the R1 and see if we can tell any difference. First, let me get quiet, or at least as quiet as I can, and let you hear the noise floor. Now let's switch over to the R1 and see if we can draw any conclusions between the two preamps. Okay, here we are on the R1 with the Innovative Specialist mics. It's just a little bit after the time I did the R09, so the house is about equally quiet. And there's the noise floor with these mics on the R1. It'll be interesting to see which one has a noisier preamp, or if we can even tell, because I know these mics themselves generate self-noise, and that may play a factor in covering up the noise of the preamp. Another problem I found with the R09 concerns quantization noise when operating in 16-bit mode. A kind of unusual thing happens. At about negative 51 dB, you can begin to hear quantization noise with a sine wave test tone. This is unfortunate, and thankfully is not present when using 24-bit mode. This problem also does not appear on the R1 in 16-bit mode. To prove this, I recorded a 400 Hz sine wave and gave it an exponential fade. I then used Studio Recorder to crank the volume of this test tone by 60 dB and used dynamic compression to smooth out the signal. This allows you to hear the noise floor rise as the sine wave fade progresses. It also makes picking out the quantization noise a relatively simple task. First, let's hear this demo recorded on the R09, then I'll play the same demo as recorded on the R1. Let me warn you though, you might want to turn down your headphones a little bit, as I did normalize these to negative 12, so they're fairly loud. Here's the test tones. Did you hear that strange sound in the first fade? That's quantization noise, and it really shouldn't be present on the R09 in 16-bit mode. As I stated in my review of the R1, the R1's noise floor acts as a dithering effect, which makes the quantization noise of the sine wave virtually impossible to detect on the R1. Unfortunately, this doesn't happen on the R9 for whatever reason. If you're concerned about this, I highly recommend using 24-bit mode. I have a feeling that some of you discriminating listeners out there are going to have trouble with this in 16-bit mode if you're not careful. Let's cover some things I really like about the R09. I really like the fact that you can turn it around backwards, and the mics have basically the same functionality as they do from the front. In fact, I'll turn the device around right now. I have it in my hand. And now I'm speaking into the back of it. And while it does seem a little lower, essentially all the aspects sound the same. I can move to its right from behind, and I can move to its left from behind. I still get the separation close in. There's not a whole lot of frequency difference. So it works almost equally well front and back. I can't say that for the R1. The R1 works poorly from behind. So that's something they got right on here. Another thing they really got right, if you're into this kind of work, is high SPL handling. I thought the R1 was fairly good, but with this R09, you can flip on the low mic sensitivity switch, and really, I mean, I was screaming into this thing, and I could not get it to clip. I played a drum track into it right up against the speaker, and I couldn't get it to clip. So I'd say very high SPL handling is possible on this machine, much higher than the R1. I wouldn't hesitate to try a fireworks display with this. I mean, you have so many steps on the level control. You set the level toward the bottom end and set this mic sensitivity on low, and you're good to go for almost any situation you're going to get into. Another thing I really like is they got the levels right on the soft side too. You can really crank this record level up and clip easily, which was not possible with the R1. The R1, for normal conversation, the level all the way up was a little low. On the R09, as I'll illustrate here, you can crank this record level all the way up and get quite a bit of gain. In fact, I'm just about clipping now. In fact, I am clipping, according to the clip light on the machine. So, all kinds of gain here. I have the limiter back on now, just in case you're wondering. I think our partially sighted listeners will really like the lighting on the new R09. The record indicator is very bright, and so is the clip indicator. Both real bright red lights, kind of hard to miss. The display can be made fairly bright too, and it may be possible in some instances for people to see the meters. I also like the fact that the handling noise on the R09 is much better than that on the R1. I can move my hands around on this, and while you can hear it, it's not nearly as offensive as it was on the R1. Another thing I like about the R09 versus the R1 is that when you turn the record level all the way down and record silence, the R09 seems to be a bit quieter than the R1 was. I get peak noise of about negative 79 dB on a 24-bit 44.1 file, which is interesting because that's not great, but it's good enough for some kinds of work. Another thing I really like about the R09 is the way it feels in your hand. I remember when we first got the MicroTrack that I always felt like I was going to drop the thing. It has kind of a plasticky feel, and it's very square on the edges, and I don't think I ever actually did drop it, but I always felt like I was going to. I never had that feeling with the R09. It's never even crossed my mind. It has rounded edges. It fits in your hand nicely. The rubber feet, in my case, don't play a role as I hold it in my hand, so they're not even a factor. They're only a factor when you sit it on the table. Let's talk about the batteries for a second and how they go into the unit and how they actually feel once they're in the unit. As discussed earlier, there's a door at the bottom of the unit. I'm not going to get into a whole lot of detail about that. It is a little difficult to use. I think it's manageable once you get used to it, but it was very tricky for me the first time through. Once you get the batteries in, however, I kind of like the way they turned out because they're actually in the center of the unit. And in my particular case right now, I'm using these really heavy NIMH batteries. And as somebody pointed out earlier on the list, I can't remember who, the batteries are a little long, and they're kind of hard to get in and out of the R1. This isn't a problem with the R09 because of the nature of the battery door acting as a spring-loaded battery cap. Plus, since they're in the center of the unit, it doesn't really make the unit feel oddly heavy. It's so balanced that while it is, you know, heavy because of the batteries, it just feels better with them in the center of the unit. Okay, it's time for Rob's wish list. Things that I wish had made it into the R09 and maybe someday will make it into the perfect little portable digital flash recorder. For this segment, I have the limiter off, and I cranked the level up to 5 ticks from the top. And I really like being able to count ticks on this because you can use them as a reference when you record things. Anyway, here is the wish list in no particular order. Of course, I'd like quieter built-in mics. I'd like flatter built-in mics. I'd like a quieter mic preamp on the 1/8-inch input. I think the input level should work with the limiter turned on. The limiter, while I complained a lot, does a lot of things right, and if you could only adjust the input gain for the limiter, that would be perfect. The difficulty is that some mics are hotter than others, and with particularly hot mics, that limiter is just going to pump too much and be too obvious and annoying. Of course, we don't want any zipper noise in the limiter. The limiter should operate on both channels as a pair rather than individually. We want less quantization noise in 16-bit mode. We want an audible clip indicator, if possible, rather than having to rely on a clip light. We want a delete file button on the face of the unit. Deleting files is relatively easily done on this machine, but that's one thing I really like about the MicroTrack is the delete file button. I'd like to get rid of the reverb if it would cut the price. I'd like to get rid of the optical output if it would cut the price. If anybody's using either the reverb or the optical output for anything practical, write to the list and let me know, because I really hope these features don't add too much price to the unit, as they seem to me to be pretty much a waste. I'd like to have all three of the 1/8-inch jacks on the top of the unit. It's really nice that they have the mic input on the top, but if you put this thing in your pocket with a pair of headphones and a mic plugged in, it would be really better not to have a plug poking you in the side as you walk around. If it's not possible to put all three jacks on the top, maybe then the line end should be on the side. I'm not really sure. I don't know how many people use this portably with a line end. Maybe with a mic preamp you would do such a thing. But I think there's room for all three jacks on the top, so let's just shoot for that. I wish that you could set cue points simply by pressing the record button while in record mode. Cue points are often referred to as marks in audio editing programs, and if you could just set marks in this thing, it would make navigation on the PC side much more simple and let you clean up your recordings more quickly. And I was forced into mentioning this one. I personally don't care, but Larry wants a speaker. So that's the wish list as it stands. Oh, one more thing while we're hitting accessibility on the wish list. How about an accessible battery low indicator? Now we're really stepping out over the edge. I think the accessible clip indicator and battery indicator really aren't going to make it into any Eddie Roll products, but it's fun to wish. All right, I guess that pretty much wraps up my views on the R09. I'd like to thank Adele for giving us access to the menus. That really helped out a lot in the preparation of this summary. And I'd also like to thank Jim and Neil for getting us all re-excited about the next new generation of flash-type recorder. Hopefully the next recorder that comes out will be even more exciting and we can all get our hands on it and do a good review of it as well. Bye for now.